Fourth and final hour. Darren Donica Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Don't forget to join us. We're partnering with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings the light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we would like to raise awareness. We would like to raise awareness. You can tell the fourth. We warned Ladarius, our engineer, on-site engineer. He's never done a hockey broadcast. And remember, we told him at First Horizon, like,
layer up.
Whatever you think is too much, it's not. Okay? So if you look like the Michelin man coming into the ice rink, it's okay. You're dressed appropriately. Because clearly my brain is starting to freeze. And we said, Ladarius, the true test is going to be the fourth hour, the final hour, because that's when we had a funny joke with a member of the Predator staff who came out and said, what are you guys doing, having a smoke break? No, we go outside to warm up.
Stay warm.
Right. We try to, you know, thaw out during the breaks. And clearly I need to go back out there for a, air quotes, smoke break because I can't talk. But anyway, we would like to raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. That is a good thing. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Congratulations to Jack Holleran, who was caller 9.
Mm.
As Philip Forsberg walked by the table, Jack was lucky caller 9, and you can get to go see the Stones at Nissan Stadium. That's a great prize. Just saying.
It is a great prize. It's a fantastic show. I've seen them in concert twice, and so I highly recommend it. And I know we're going to have a couple more chances to win later this week, so keep listening.
Brooks Bratton, who's standing over to the left of us, we've been
Brooksy
to a stadium show.
Oh, yeah.
Heinz Field. Not John Heinz Field, but Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Saw you too. And you know what?
I felt like we were at UC.
Yes.
He laughed, folks. That's good.
You know what? It felt like we were at an ice rink that night because it was cold and I was underdressed.
Oh, I've heard this story.
You forget that you're in, you know, you're up north, and you would think in May, or actually June. Yeah.
Because it was the final.
They play the Stanley Cup final in June. So, yes, it was June. Yes, it was still freezing in Pittsburgh. Freezing that night. But it was a great show. Great show. So, Jack, go enjoy the Stones at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October 9th. So cool stuff there. Should have Carl Taylor and John Heinz.
Yes.
Speaking of Heinz, this hour as they are wrapping things up here at Centennial Sportsplex. Don't forget Thursday night, they will be down in Tampa to take on the Lightning. That'll have a puck drop at 6 o'clock. I'll have pregame for you at 5:30 and everything heard right here on these airwaves. And then the first home preseason game will be Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena against that same team, the Lightning. And little hint that I threw out there earlier, for all the people that have been nice enough to stop by and say hello, talk, wave, what have you, or just hang out with us in Barrel House this year, we're going to have a new location.
We're moving.
We are moving.
And we will pass more along with that. I also wanted to pass this along, Darren. October 3rd, which is Sunday at 11:45, you're going to be able to stream the Predators practice by going to NashvillePredators.com, something that John Heinz is offering to Predators fans where you can watch practice, because usually during training camp you can come out. Things are obviously still different, but you'll be able to watch this on NashvillePredators.com starting at 11:45. It'll be on the website later. If you can't watch it live, the stream will feature a pre-practice breakdown of the day's practice plan by Coach John Heinz and a live interview and commentary from every drill with Chris Mason and Hal Gill, and then all the live interviews post-practice. So check that out on Sunday, which is going to be cool.
There you go. Let's segue into head coach John Hines, who's been nice enough to stop by. It's so good, as we told him as he was walking by to go to the other rink. It's good to see you in person. I feel like we only talk on the phone. So thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to see you guys. And you know, the Zoom and the phone calls are nice. And I think it was, you know, part of what we all had to go through. But it's nice to see you guys live. And, you know, pretty much like doing this with you guys in training camp and seeing some of the media guys around. It just more and more feels more natural. And I think it's exciting for everybody.
What did you learn about your team? What do you try to get out of preseason? You played two games in Sunrise on Sunday. What was your takeaways?
We really liked the way that we played. You know, we came in and we had testing and then we had 2 days of practice and we basically really implemented some breakouts, some defensive zone coverage, coming out of our own zone. And we really liked those components of our game. And the other thing we talked with the players about was early in training camp, a lot of it is, you know, you haven't been able to install a lot of things. So some of the early preseason games, particularly on Sunday, was more the identity one that we wanted to play with. We wanted to play fast. We wanted to have guys be able to show what they can do, their hockey sense, their competitiveness, just their big, strong guys, to be able to play physical and show that. If you're an offensive, crafty player, that, you know, we put in enough X's and O's, but also want them to be instinctual to be able to play. So we didn't get the results we wanted, but, we felt like we had a lot of strong showings. And we liked the way that we competed throughout the games. And there were segments that we had worked on that looked really good. And then there were other segments of the games that we hadn't covered yet that didn't look as good. But those are things you just continue to peck away in through camp.
Who was responsible for the extra shootout stuff? Was that you? Was that Q? Like, it was like game over. Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. We got more. Hold on. It's not over.
Yeah, you know, it's the home team's the home team is communicates with the opposition if they want to have the shootout. So we will be doing that in Nashville when we have our home games. We'll certainly have the shootout. It didn't get a little communicated prior to the first game, so I think everyone got off the bench and was going. But then we had it was like herding cats getting back on the bench. But so we did communicate. We both agreed we were going to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. John, we had Cody Glass sat down with us earlier. Really good conversation with him. You had him centering that first line in game one alongside Luke Cunnan and Ellie Tolvanen. Really impressed with some of the stuff that he was talking about. He just seems like he's in a really good place here. He's in a good place mentally. He talked to us about just kind of leaving behind in Vegas the first ever draft pick, which clearly he was asked about a lot, something that weighed heavily on him. He's kind of shed that, and he can come here and be him. I thought he played really well in game one. I'd be curious on your thoughts and, you know, and just overall, what do you think you're going to get out of Cody Glass this season?
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, I thought he played really well. You know, some of the things that we liked, you know, we knew coming in, his vision and his ability to make plays is very good. He did, you know, he created a lot of scoring chances, had two or three grade A scoring chances for himself, which was very good. We used him on both special teams. He played in the power play. He's got great power play instincts. He's a half wall player. You know, he can make no-look passes. He's got great deception to his game. His timing of when to make plays is really strong. We also used him on the penalty kill. You know, we thought he was good on faceoffs, but he's a really smart player. And we liked him also on the penalty kill. So, you know, we gave him some big minutes. I think he was probably around 20, 21 minutes. We didn't really hide any matchups. We played him D-zone faceoffs, offensive zone faceoffs, power play penalty kill. And we were impressed with him. I thought it was a really strong showing from him. I think the other thing that's great that you noticed is I think mentally where he's at. You know, sometimes for a young player, I mean, this is the best league in the world. It's the hardest league in the world. And, you know, adversity is a big part of the NHL. And, you know, here's a young guy that went through some adversity, and sometimes your second team, when you come in and you have the right mindset, which he does, I think it also can propel because it's so much experience that you get, and you can't, you know, some of the things he had gone through, first ever draft pick, the injury, you know, playing on a Vegas team where, you know, he was kind of up and down. Lots of times if, you know, he's a bright player, bright person, he's a hungry player. So I think he's taken those lessons and realized, okay, what did I do well, but what are the areas that have to get better? And we've talked about those things, and I think he understands who he is as a person, who he is as a player, and that's a great start. And I think he's got off to a very good camp, very impressed with the way that he's played, how he learns, and his just energy and excitement to be around the rink. He's a hungry, hungry guy.
In that game, Tanner Janot had a couple of goals. And I said this in postgame after game one. You know, everybody saw last year what Tanner brings to the table, which is great, right? I mean, he's got the physical element, you know, what that line would provide, even though you had moved him up for that game. But just everything that's in his arsenal, but he had two goals. And I said, man, he's going to make it tough on head coach John Hines if he keeps producing like this, because he's not your typical – I don't want to say he's just an energy guy, because that's not what he is. And I know the league's changed from that. You got to be more than just, you know, a guy who goes out there and bangs bodies, as you know. But, I mean, is this something that you think maybe the next step for him is maybe he can bring even – more offensive punch than he did last year? Or is that just something that played out?
No, it is. It's, you know, I think in the offseason we had talked about, I just segue off for a second. I think when you look at kind of the attention that, you know, it was labeled the herd line last year, and you know, there was a lot of physicality to how they played. But, you know, they're not just energy-banging players. Like, if you look at the three of them, they've all had – offensive touch in the American Hockey League. They've all shown that they have the opportunity to be able to score goals at the National Hockey League. And that's what's been really intriguing with Tanner, with Trennan, and with Olivier, is that they come in, they have the physicality, they have the size, they're very difficult to play against. But they're guys that, you know, they don't just eat up minutes.
Yeah.
They put the other team under attack. There's physicality to their game, but they can chip in and produce offense. And that's really where the league is going. If you have four lines that maybe some of them have different identities, but these guys can also play hard and be difficult to play against, but they're going to be able to score goals for you. The three of them have shown that. Regarding Tanner, we feel like he's continued to progress. And, you know, last year he showed a little bit of a scoring touch, and then he's looked great in training camp. So is there an opportunity for him to move up in the lineup? You know, because he's a responsible player, he's big, he's fast. You know, we've lost Yarncroc, and, you know, you could also look at a Tanner Janot and say, okay, you know, they're both smart players, both very responsible. You know, Yarny's got more experience, but you look at Tanner Janot, he's younger, he's bigger, he's fast, and he has a scoring touch. So, you know, we've given him an opportunity the last 2 days in training camp to play with Granlin, see what that looks like with him, Granlin, and Cunning, and maybe we'll take a look at him possibly with Glass. And so we're just trying to figure that out, but he'll determine where he plays, but we're certainly going to give him some opportunities to see can he play on a different line, and can he move up? And then that might change the look of our lineup.
Yeah, and I think you could make a case that their line, I think that second line was maybe the best line in game one.
Yeah.
You could make that case for sure.
Absolutely. And you know, when you look throughout the playoffs and even sometimes the second half of the year, I wouldn't say that Sisse's line was necessarily a fourth line. You know, they were an effective line. And what we mean by effective is, you know, do they put the other team under duress? Like, are they in the offense? Are they making the other team defend? Or are they just taking on water? And that line, second half of the year and in the playoffs, you know, they got the ice time that they did because they were outplaying the competition that they played. And, you know, we're looking forward for those guys to come in. Now, we don't want to just pencil them in on a certain role. Maybe the upside to these guys, that's the difference with sometimes younger players or guys getting experience, is the more experience they get, the more confidence they get, the more comfortable they get here. We don't know what the upside is for these guys. So we'll continue to, as long as they continue to earn them, we'll continue to give them to them.
Predators head coach John Hines sitting down here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase at Centennial Sportsplex. There's been so much hype about Philip Tomasino. You know, what do the Predators have in the first round pick? And it was good to see him out there. He's still very young. He's going to get every opportunity to actually make this roster. And we'll find out if that plays out or not. But what are you looking for Philip Tomasino at this stage in his career? Is he's trying to be a full-time guy, but maybe he's ready, maybe he's not.
I think a lot of it is, you know, he's an NHL player with his attributes. You know, he has NHL speed. He's very competitive. He's got good size. He's strong. Now, is he strong enough in the NHL for every night? Those are things we want to be able to see. I think he's got a good scoring touch. He's got a knack for offense. So I think as training camp goes on, you want to see his best attributes be able to continue to be noticeable every game and impacts, whether it's in practice, particularly the exhibition games. Like, are the things that he's really good at as a young player, are they going to be able to make an impact regularly at the National Hockey League level? Because he is going to have other things. His play without the puck is going to have to get to another level. How do we feel he's going to be able to handle the night in and night out rigors of the NHL. And some of that is going to come through training camp because they're hard practices, they're longer practices. You know, you're morning skating, you're playing games. So training camp is a grind too. So how is he going to be able to continue to pile good days together and continue to show that he can be an everyday guy? So, you know, it is important to make the right decision with the young players. You know, to put him in situations that he's ready to handle. When you throw guys in, and sometimes you throw them in the deep end and just let them see if they can swim, sometimes it's hard at this level. And you don't want to ruin the confidence of the player. Right. You don't want to ruin the development of the player. So, you know, he's had a good camp so far. We're going to continue to put him in situations where he's going to have to produce and play strong. And then we'll just try to make the right decision for the player, number one, and then for the team.
John, when you look at last year, Alex Carrier was obviously a big story and a fun story. It's someone that we'd seen have a cup of coffee here before, but gets called up out of necessity and more than earns the opportunity. But, you know, now that he is on this team, he's fighting for top minutes, what was your challenge to him of, okay, you got to continue to take those next steps?
Well, it was an easy challenge in the sense that he – you know, Alex has never had anything handed to him. He is a younger player to the NHL, but he has tremendous amount of professional games, particularly in the American Hockey League. You know, and last year he came in and played well, and he basically won a job. He took someone's position. So when you do that, you know what's coming. There's another Alex Carrier coming. You know, Dante Fabro didn't like sitting out in the playoffs, and Mark Borowicki's going to be back, and Ben Harper doesn't want to give up his spot. Now you have Philip Myers, and now you have a veteran player like Benning, you know, who comes in, and, you know, he has some certain attributes that, you know, he won spots in the lineup. Alex is a really smart guy. We just talked to him about, what were the things that allowed him to be able to win the spot? How did he play? What are the attributes we're looking for? And then make sure that when he comes back this summer, you know, that he continues. He's got great hockey sense and knows how to play the game. But as a smaller stature player, it's, you know, his skating, his leg strength, and his ability to be able to play in the confrontational areas of the game, similar to Dante. So he's a guy that doesn't take anything for granted. He had a great summer. I think he started strong here in training camp, and I think he is another guy that clearly understands that nothing's going to be given to him. He wants to earn it. But I think the great thing is we have a lot of confidence in him as a player, and he has a lot of confidence in himself, and I think that's a good marriage when a player's coming into a competitive situation. And we expect him to be a really strong player for us this year.
Yeah, and you bring up Dante. We had him on about a week ago, and I remember saying to these guys, I mean, you can hear the chip. Like, there's that chip on his shoulder, and if I'm in your position, I love hearing that. I mean, that's what you want to see in training camp. He's been putting in the work all summer. So in the early days of camp, what have you seen? Have you seen a lot of that work paying off?
Yeah, you know, we even if you go back to the physical testing, his vertical jump went up the highest it's been. He's stronger with his upper body. His explosive numbers have gone up. His on-ice testing was good. So there's, you know, he put in this work in the summer. Now you come into testing, and there's a clear cut. He is physically stronger than he was last year. He's more explosive than he was last year. So kudos to him and the work that he put in, because he answered the challenge. And we've liked him in camp. I mean, there's a little more urgency to his game and to his practices right now. You know, I think his first exhibition game was strong. He looks a bit quicker. He looks a bit stronger. And we talked to him prior even to coming into camp to say, you know, this is what his identity as a player is. For example, you know, he's a puck-moving player. If you look at a guy like Roman Josi or even Ekholm at times, these guys can sometimes take it from their own end. They can go all the way up the ice and carry it, where Dante is more of a transitional player. So we don't expect him to play like Roman, but we expect him to be able to play hard defensively. When he gets the puck, he moves it out of our zone. He transitions the puck well in the neutral zone. He helps join the rush, and he's strong at the offensive blue line. So he's really playing to what his strengths are, and I think that's helped him focus in on some things he needs to have his best camp.
One thing that I said to Darren when we first got here and was starting the show is, you know, just out of habit, I kept looking for number 35 out there on the ice. And obviously with Pekka's retirement, it's still weird for everybody not to see him, but it creates an even bigger opportunity for UC. UC played a lot of minutes for you all, became the starting goaltender, but as you were saying with Carrier, with that comes even more. So what has stood out to you with him and his preparation, and then also having Rittich here as a veteran backup?
Well, I think it's certainly different with Pecks around, just because of not only on the ice, but I think most of you know, I think what you see from a coach's perspective is you always know the on-ice stuff, but the off-ice things. He was a resource for everybody. He had great inputs. He had so much experience. You know, I think he helped players. He was a sounding board for coaches and just, you know, all around, I think, as we all know, an all-around, you know, great, great human being. So he certainly, you certainly see the void. But it is an opportunity for other guys to be able to step up in that situation. And a lot of guys have learned from Pecs, and that's now it's their time to be able to take what they've learned from him and bring that into our team. Juice, you know, Juice has really matured in my time here. I think one of the things to really mention is, you know, he does have a different confidence about him. His demeanor, I think he knows that it's his net. I think he's had some he doesn't have this false confidence. He's really earned it over the last couple of years. He's really had to take, you know, he took over the starting role. He had to fight for the starting role. He's played in some playoff games. He's played multiple games in a row. He's had the, you know, he understands what it means to be a starter now. And I think he's had a really good offseason. You know, he knows that I think the beginning of the seasons haven't been as quick to a start as he had, but I think he knows there's no lifeline now. We're counting on him to come in and be ready to go from day one. He's in great shape. He changed his off-ice training this year, moved from his hometown, moved into Helsinki earlier in the summer, got on the ice, skated with more NHL players than he had in the past. So there's some adaptations to his preparation prior to coming here. And he's looked great in practice. I think the big thing is his demeanor and his confidence. It's important for your starting goalie to have strong belief in himself, practice the right way, play the right way. I think it breeds confidence within the team, and you know he's ready for it. Not only on the ice, but I think off the ice and mentally and maturity wise, he's in a good spot to get ready to go here.
Last thing on my end, I mean you're in your third season here now, but this is your first real normal training camp because of all the COVID stuff, and you get preseason. Does too much get made of how important that is, or is it really important that you've gotten to do that, especially with so much change that this team has gone through this year?
It's important because it's really everything's been on the fly. You know, you come in January and you're going. So if getting to know players, getting to know strengths and weaknesses, getting the team culture in place on top of how you want to play, it's kind of been on the go. And every time we've played, something's been on the line. So in the exhibition games, you have a longer camp. You can have more detailed installs of what you want to do. You're playing in games. You can try different combinations of players. You can see some of the systems and things that need to be touched up better than what they are. Where, you know, the last couple training camps, you're just basically practicing and playing against each other. It's hard to evaluate even sometimes combinations or really who's playing well, who's not. I think the exhibition games are really important for eval of individual players, but also where your game is at heading into the regular season. And I think the 3 weeks of, you know, multiple games and practices is something that's, you know, it is important because you have time to establish things in a setting that it's not all about the next game. It's all about getting ready for an exhibition game, evaluating, re-hitting things, spending time with players, spending time developing your culture, spending time, you know, getting guys ready. So when the game is on the line, we've had 3 weeks now of opportunities to do things really well, but also respond to some adversity.
It's weird when Chase said that. Like it is true. Like I know we're not out of this. It's not normal, but it's feeling a lot more like normal. But I mean, what did you have? A month and a half, maybe? I'm trying to remember the exact timeline of normalcy, and then everything has been different since.
Yeah, I think it was 6 weeks.
I was going to say, that's
like
about right.
Second week in January, and then it was right. First week in March, we were done. We were over. So
and you spent a lot of time on the road. You weren't even really here. So
no.
You spent
And when I was here, I was at Homewood Suites and Bricktops.
I know, it's crazy. I think I've met you in passing in the hallway before COVID, but this is really the first time we've been around.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for doing this. Really good to see you. Best of luck, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the course of the season.
All right, thanks. I really enjoyed it. Great to see you guys. Yep. Look forward to doing this again.
Yep, good to see you. Predators head coach John Hines, nice enough to stop by here today at Centennial Sportsplex. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.